This is fantastic. So, look, let's face it. Most of us, I won't say all of us, have had a bit of a night out in our lives where you might wake up the next morning and say, geez, what happened? What did I do last night? Oh, remember that? You were having shots at the bar with that random guy? Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. I can't remember it, but, yeah, I'm sure it was good fun. What did I do last night? You had your top off in the on the dance? Oh, I did not, did I? Did I get nude again? Oh, look, we've all had those nights. How about this couple? They're British. They went to Sri Lanka. They had a night out on the rum, on the local rum there. Sri Lankan rum, their first night out. Yep, let's have some fun. Woke up the next morning. What did we do last night? They say to a local, you bought our hotel. Come again? You bought this hotel. They didn't remember it. $80,000. They bought a Sri Lankan hotel. They got on the rum, got stonkered, woke up the next morning, and they were getting told that last night they thought it looked a little bit grotty but very cheap, and it's by the beach and it looks like a wooden treehouse. Should we buy it? No problems at all. Even the next morning when they did the paperwork, they were still half tipsy. They had to get someone to come and translate it because the couple didn't speak English themselves. The people they bought it off did not speak English. Unbelievable. They've admitted that they were still tipsy the next morning when they bought the hotel. We didn't understand most of the conversation, Mark said. We just sat there drinking more rum and slowly getting drunk again. 3 months later, after forking out the $80,000 to buy this hotel on the beach in Sri Lanka, the couple found out they were expecting their first child. I felt like I was already a bad mother because I felt guilty that I'd wasted all of this money buying a business that might not work, she said. Even our friends and family think we're idiots and shouldn't have been doing it. We owed a lot of money from the wedding and only lived in a tiny flat. Now we've got a baby on the way and we own a hotel in Sri Lanka. Well, guess what? Since becoming owners of this hotel in July, apparently, allegedly, the couple's hotel is flying. It's been really busy. It's going well. I would love to follow up on that in a year's time and see how they're going. Happily ever after. Random. You go to Sri Lanka for a holiday. You end up buying the hotel for $80,000 and you live there for the rest of your life. It's got me thinking, though. Goulburn Valley, what is your story? Family Pass of the Shep Show could be yours. 13:27:10. What have you done? Have you had a bit of a night out and someone's reminded you of what you've done the next day, or you've realised and you've gone, my goodness, what have I done? Has that happened to me? It has. One that springs to mind, one out of 428. Bangkok, about 8 or 9 years ago. Did a few things in Bangkok. But this instance in particular, what happened was, I found out about it the next day. We went to this club, very fancy club. There was like beds that you could sit on and lie on and fancy couches. But there was also a fashion show. There was a big catwalk up on this stage with these fancy white strobe lights. Shawnee thought it would be a good idea. You know what? I can do this. I've got the rig. Got up there between models. The crowd actually went nuts. I've seen the footage. Someone filmed it. Yes, the crowd went nuts. I went up there, decided I was a model, got my strut on, pulled my T-shirt up around my neck, showed off what abs I had at the time, and I was part of the fashion show. The locals absolutely loved it, but I didn't really remember it the next morning. So 13:27:10, Goulburn Valley, what is your story? You're waking up the next morning, you're going, what have I done? Someone's told you. 13:27:10, give us a call. We'll chat after you. No one called me. However, I've got Billy.
You got the next best thing. Here I am, mate. I saw you do the bat signal. Here I came running.
The bat signal. Come running in, Billy, because no one wants a family pass the Shep Show.
Really?
All they did was make a story
up. You know how good the Shep Show is this year?
Unbelievable.
Everything's there.
So what am I going to do with this family pass? Watch this. Someone will call now and say, oh, I didn't realise. Oh, can I call you now?
Yeah.
Mate, and I know I did press, because we've got this magic button that we can press where you and I can talk between the studios.
Yes.
And I did say, Billy, have you got a story? And you said, Shawnee, honestly, I've got nothing.
Well, that's the
thing. You're being conservative.
Isn't it kind of ironic, though? Because I don't have a story that I can remember.
Yeah, right.
See? So you're asking, you know, what's the story? So, I don't remember, mate.
Come on, mate. You know, we know you love a quiet glass of red.
Yeah, no, you know, it really is the worst feeling in the world when you have that. You know, when you wake up the next day and there's just this little nagging thought or something where you're like, did that happen?
Surely you've got a memory of a night out with a certain someone.
I'm so glad I come into these chats. I do remember backpacking and
I got a story. Go.
I have done the gone to someone's house by accident that I thought was mine and like woken up and like the people walking around me are not my friends.
You're in the wrong.
I have gone into the wrong house. Yes.
Well, there you go. That's good.
So I was in London and I started working at this place, and I'll skip a few of the details in between. Anyway, it was a big night, and like in London, you've got all these terrace houses next to each other, and they all look the same.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, so I've walking along the back alley. And basically, I don't know what happened. I must have just taken a random punt that was the fence into our backyard where I was staying. And I've jumped over and it's dark and the doors all look the same. And doors open. I walked in, made myself a little bit of an evening snack. Fridge I thought was over there last time. But anyway, and then went to sleep on the couch. Everything looked fine. Woke up the next day getting a little prod. Excuse me. And I was like,
what are you doing?
Oh, hello? It's like, you live next door. It's okay. Yeah, so I have done that. It was all good. It wasn't, you know, there was no screaming or anything like that. It was kind of like, Billy, and they knew me, but they were just like, big night, mate.
Yeah,
you live next door.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it happens a lot, apparently, to people. Like, they break into houses after a big night that they used to live in.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that?
So I've heard of that. People move house.
They move house.
They go out on the drink and they go back to their old house.
Yeah, they go back to their old house.
Oh, that's good. Now, that's a good story, mate. You had nothing 2 minutes ago and you've come through with that. Cam Luke, he does a lot of radio down in Melbourne. You see him on Channel 7's Armchair Expert. He's doing some great work of late with Tom Brown from Channel 7 and, of course, Triple M down in Melbourne as well. Good morning. I'm talking about Cam Luke. How are you, mate?
Morning, Shorty. You're doing well, mate. It's a bit of that post-grand final hangover, hence why we haven't spoken, but time to fire back up now, mate, because something big is coming regarding Armchair Expert. So we'll talk about that another day. But, yeah, exciting times if you love your trades. And who do you make for, Shorty?
I'm a Bombers man.
Oh, well, you won't care about this, but Dane Beams.
What have you got? Are you breaking something?
If he hasn't already, he will officially request a trade back to Collingwood today from the Brisbane Lions. I know he's contracted for a couple more years. There's a lot of rumours getting around that he wanted to come back to Collingwood during the course of the year. Of course, he was originally traded from Collingwood, being a premiership player and Best and Fairest winner, to Brisbane because his dad was quite sick.
Yep.
Unfortunately, his dad passed away earlier this year, and it started to spark the talk that maybe he wanted to head back to Melbourne. He, at the Best and Fairest, spoke passionately when he finished second and said, no, as it stands right about now, I want to be at this football club. But I believe in the last 24 hours, and Damien Barrett, talking Triple M, one of the best, if not the best, football journalist in the country, I think broke the news about 15, 20 minutes ago. And as it stands right now, Dane Beams, if he hasn't already officially requested a trade back to Collingwood, and Collingwood only.
Wow.
If the deal doesn't get done, he will stay at Brisbane, but for personal reasons, he wants to come home to the football club to which he was drafted.
Big news. That's big news. Big news for Pies fans. Obviously, we've got a lot of Pies fans up this way, with still side bottom being from up this way. Now, Cam, look, he did speak not long ago, and even a few months ago when he spoke in the media. I got to admit, he had me convinced. I thought, you know what, he's going to stay up there. Were you the same?
Yeah, when he made that Best and Fairest speech, I was pretty sceptical all year. There was too much talk around him, but when he made that Best and Fairest speech, it really sort of rammed home that maybe that's, you know, but you do get caught up in the emotion. And there's a group of people you do not listen to when it comes to trades and to football. It's players. Because, and Dane Beams, like, incredibly, incredibly talented footballer, and obviously thoughts still go with his family and everything of what they had to go through the last couple of years. And to be able to play good footy while dealing with such a tough situation is incredible. And we know he's a superstar, so we'll see how it plays out. Look, if he ends up staying in the Brisbane Lions, then we'll see. But one of those unique situations where he's put his hand up and said he'd like to get back to Pyland.
Let's talk about the Everest, mate. It's happening this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Randwick. It's Australia's richest horse race. $13 million in prize money. I think I've got that right. It's absolutely huge. Look, do you believe in this? Any publicity is good publicity.
It.
It's got us
right,
talking.
Look, I love the concept. I'm a huge horse racing fan. $13 million, $7 million to the winners. I think that the way that the sprinters in Australia right now are structured, it's brilliant for the concept because they're all very even. It's the most even race I can possibly see right about now. The old all publicity, you know, good publicity. It's an interesting one. The Sydney Opera House fiasco was taken to a whole new level when Alan Jones became a bully. Well, not become a bully. He's a bully and continue to bully in this situation. Look, it looked amazing. It's interesting. I understand the people who say that it shouldn't have been used, the Opera House's in the way that it was around the barrier draw, and there's people like myself who enjoy it for what it is, being horse racing, and it looked really like a great spectacle. But in the end, the race has got so much intrigue and drama based around what it actually has. 12 slots, to-ing and fro-ing when it comes to filling that those slots with particular horses. Horses fill a slot, then lose form and get spelled. Like Nature Strip, who's the fastest 1,000-metre horse in the world, a couple of weeks ago. So the actual talk around the Everest is actually greater than any other race. The Cox Plate, the Melbourne Cup, are, of course, to a new level. But what this race actually does, it gets a lot of people talking in a different way about horse racing. The one thing is, and I hosted an event last week with Michael Walker, champion jockey in Victoria, and I interviewed Kieran McAvoy, two-time Melbourne Cup winning jockey and the winner of the first Everest last year on Red Zell, goes around this weekend. And there's a little bit of slight frustration about the timing of it. Now, not to say that they're saying it's the wrong time, but also it's Caulfield Guineas Day, 1,000 Guineas Day, Caulfield Stakes on Saturday at Caulfield, which of course is full of really good races and really good horses, and you've got to make a decision on to where you go. Kieran McAvoy's riding the Autumn Sun, or has ridden the Autumn Sun, who will win the Caulfield Guineas, and in fact is the only horse in the country. Won't beat her, but the only horse in the country that panics Winks on Moonee Valley Day at Cox Plate. So a little bit of frustration there, but you know what? They don't work hand in hand. They're two separate governing bodies, and you can do what you want, and that's what the Racing New South Wales are doing, and it's going to be a huge race on Saturday.
Huge day of racing on Saturday. Cannot wait for that. Yeah, and I can understand where the jockeys are coming from. I wonder if any of them are going to be doing the old, who did it years back, Damien Oliver, starting at one venue, jumping on a plane and riding a Group 1 winner in two cities in the same day. Do you remember that?
I don't, but it's going to be very hard to do, only because the Group 1 race is a little later. But,
same time.
We'll see how it plays out. What I will do, and always gamble responsibly, Smart Melody wins 1,000 guineas. Then, of course, you have Autumn Sun will win the Caulfield Guineas, both very short. Molt of them into Red Zell, who wins the Everest. And if you want to go one step further, maybe after watching the Bachelorette performance last night, multi it into Charlie. That's the first 4 minutes of reality TV I've ever watched. And honestly, it might be the last, but it's seen enough that I think Charlie wins her heart, whatever the girl's name
is. I think the next time you're involved in reality TV, Cam, is I reckon you should have a crack. You should put your hand up for the next Bachelor. I'm calling it right now.
You know, someone rang me earlier and he wanted me to be in Married at First Sight. Someone set me up and I said, look, I wouldn't want to disappoint the poor woman standing at the end of the aisle when I trampled down and ripped Dean's T-shirt and thong. So we'll give it a bit, but thanks for the call.
Yeah, he's wearing a cardigan and jeans with holes in them. What is going on? Who's this guy?
Well, actually, it coincided with the cardigan gates, and there might have been something in that, but no, I did pass on it. Hey, quickly, Sean, before I let you go, NBL season starts.
Yes,
tonight,
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, it's going to be huge tonight. New Zealand hosts the season opener. Adelaide and Perth play tonight. Both going to be pretty good teams. Melbourne United start their season tomorrow night in Illawarra, then have their first home game on Sunday where they will raise the championship banner. Eight teams, Bogut in the league for the Sydney Kings. It's going to be outstanding. So I know, Shepherd and the greater city, Shepherd and area to which you broadcast is a huge, huge basketball community. Of course, the Shepherd and Gators have been dominant for a long period of time in all walks of basketball. So a lot of basketball fans. So I know it's a little bit harder to get the games, but Fox Sports 506, all games, also 9 go on Sundays, the official free-to-air TV broadcaster of the NBL. And if you get down to Melbourne and see some Melbourne United games, it's definitely well worth it.
There you go. He hasn't taken a breath in the last 5.5 minutes. His name's Cam Luke. We talk sport, well, every so often we'll call it here on the Goblin Valleys. 95.3 Triple N. Cam, have a great...
I'm going back to my crumpets now, Shawnee. Thank you, bro.